You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Maggie Dawn, and you are listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. Happy Friday, one and all. We're going to start with a bit of news updates this hour. So much happening. As you hear my voice, Donald Trump is meeting with President Vladimir Putin at a base just outside of Anchorage, Alaska. What are they discussing? Well, how to resolve the Ukraine-Russia war. Seems a little odd, of course. Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky, not in the room, not even in Alaska, wasn't even invited. But a man who has been indicted for war crimes by the International Criminal Court, has a warrant out for his arrest, that is Vladimir Putin. Well, he was invited, got a military flyover, lots of glad handing and smiles with the U.S. president. Yeah, they're meeting right now as we speak. We'll keep you posted on any updates as those discussions continue. Donald Trump apparently promising to be all over Fox News all evening long after this so-called summit. Anybody else curious? You think he'll be claiming that it was a fabulous success and that he should win the Nobel Peace Prize? I think that's pretty much guaranteed, no matter what happens in that room. Our big thanks to Professor Lowell Barrington, who joined me for the last half hour discussing same. He's a professor of political science from Marquette University. In the Washington, D.C. police takeover situation that we have been monitoring all week here on the Civic Media Radio Network, there was an incredible amount of goings on since I got off the air yesterday. First, Attorney General Pam Bondi issued the formal directive attempting to place D.C. police under the federal government's control. Specifically, her directive last evening placed the D.C. Metropolitan Police under the control of the Drug Enforcement Agency Administrator Terry Cole. It said that all directives to any MPD officers needed to be run past Commissioner Cole. Following that directive from the Attorney General, the Attorney General of Washington, D.C., issued an opinion to the Metropolitan Police Department's police chief that basically said, yeah, that order from the Attorney General of the United States is invalid, and you don't have to follow it. And you are the only one, as further directed by the mayor of Washington, D.C., who can command and direct the Metropolitan Police Department. And then this morning, the D.C. Attorney General filed a lawsuit in federal court seeking to have the federal court issue an emergency temporary restraining order today that would prevent the Trump administration from controlling the D.C. Metropolitan Police Department. A hearing was ongoing as I got on the air at 4 p.m., and we now know the outcome of that emergency hearing before Judge Reyes on the Federal District Court for the District of Columbia. We know the outcome. She basically announced in court that she thought that the Trump administration had acted without proper authority. Here was a key exchange. The attorney representing Washington, D.C. said this: it is antithetical to the notion of home rule, meaning what the administration has attempted to do. Local residents have local control. The judge responded to that and said, I agree with you that they're not allowed to take over the police force. And I believe if I gave the attorney for the Department of Justice the truth serum, he'd probably agree. She basically told the parties to talk to one another. Otherwise, she was inclined to rule in Washington, D.C.'s favor. What came of that was an agreement between the federal government and Washington, D.C. late this afternoon. This agreement restores control of the city's police department for now in the city's police chief and the mayor instead of a Trump administration official. Pretty extraordinary stuff going on. Very, very busy news afternoon. There was other reporting earlier today that I just wanted to share with you. We didn't get to it in the first hour. That at least before this agreement was reached, literally in the last hour, Washington, D.C.'s police department, as well as the FBI, were referring media inquiries related to this deployment of the National Guard and the purported takeover of MPD, we're referring media inquiries to the White House press office. That's a little weird. A major American police force in a city just saying, just talk to the White House press office. Very bizarre. In addition, today, leading Democrats on the House's Judiciary and Oversight Committees introduced legislation to terminate Donald Trump's federal takeover of the District of Columbia's police department. Also related to D.C., reports today that federal officials, federal National Guards members, and or other federal law enforcement agents were basically tearing down homeless encampments in Washington and throwing the tents and people's possessions out. And I mention this because while I was corporation counsel for Milwaukee County, we had to at some times address various homeless encampments here in Milwaukee County. We did it a little differently. We gave those residents in those homeless encampments notice that it was happening. We gave them typically upwards of 3, 4, 5 days to move from the encampments. We brought in social workers to meet with them. We helped connect those that were interested in mental health services to mental health services. And those that were in need and wanted housing, we got set up in emergency housing. The federal government, Donald Trump's approach to the unhoused population in Washington, D.C., and again, veterans represent a disproportionately large segment of the unhoused population. Donald Trump's response to unhoused people in Washington, D.C. is just to throw their stuff out. You don't have to be that cruel about it. Like, there are different ways to accomplish the same end that simply aren't as cruel. Truly shocking. I also wanted to share some sound with you related to what's going on in Washington, D.C. Let me set this sound up. This was recorded by a young man sitting on his front stoop with some of his friends. And about in the video, you can see about 5 or 6 what look like federal law enforcement officers are walking by, and this is what transpires.
You got your ID on you, Chip?
No, I live right here.
Okay, cool.
It's a cigarette. Did y'all get a call or something about right here?
No, so we're doing checks, keeping everybody safe down here, right? Have you ever, you heard of the federal surge that Donald Trump's putting out?
No.
Right, you don't follow like Code 3, anything like that people are putting up?
What's up? All
right, so, Trump's got all federal agencies kind of coming together, 7 days and going out, trying to stop the violent crime, all kind of stuff. So we're out here contacting people, talking to them, right? Quality of life offenses, smoking, drinking in public, right? Can't happen outside, right? Most people know that. Right? So we're contacting people, trying to advise them of the law so they learn, right? And then if there's other stuff going on where it turns into there's multiple agencies of somebody, there's a shooting and things like that. So there's extra hands available, all right? So we're just out here trying to inform people and educate people. It's not like we're trying to just go grab people and ruin someone's life over a joint or something like that,
all right? I only asked because when you walked up, at the moment you walked up, you only had eggs.
Well, it smelled like the odor of marijuana, burnt marijuana in the air, right? And you're the only guy that had something lit in your hand, and I didn't flashlight you, so I didn't realize it was just a cigarette. So that's on me. I appreciate you understanding and not getting chippy. All right, so just know, right? Learn, teach, tell your boys, like, yo, everybody's out. From FBI to Park Police.
Yeah, right? We'll see
you. So, do your thing, let them know, don't be smoking outside, don't be drinking outside, because Donald Trump is tired of it. People come to visit.
I didn't know that.
You didn't know smoking in public?
Yeah, I didn't know that.
Yeah, the rest of the
book. Because they're murdering the recreational use, so I didn't know.
Yeah, so D.C. is recreational use as well, right? But you can legally possess up to 2 ounces, you can gift an ounce to your boy, right? So if you had 2 ounces and he said he needed a zip, you can give him a zip, but you can't smoke outside.
What in the heck is going on? six federal law enforcement agents talking to three guys sitting on the stoop outside their house, worried about smoking and drinking outside. Yeah, that's what local law enforcement is for. You think the feds might have, I don't know, actual federal crimes to worry about? I don't want federal law enforcement officers wasting their time doing this. What other actual public safety and intelligence work are these guys not doing because they're spending 10 minutes talking to three dudes sitting on their front stoop having a cigarette? And even if they were smoking dope, are you freaking kidding me? If it's legal in Washington, D.C. and he's sitting on his front stoop, go buzz off. I mean, it's just... That to me, you want to talk about fraud, waste, and abuse? Federal judge basically told the Trump administration their takeover was illegal, i.e. a fraud. Waste and abuse, waste of federal resources, and abuse of the time of these agents and officers' time. And let's be clear. In my neighborhood, in your neighborhood, we don't want people partying and making a nuisance of themselves outside. But there was no complaint here. These guys were just sitting there minding their own damn business. And if they were a nuisance, again, that's what the local police department is for. Not five to six federal agents. They have better things to do. Absolutely ridiculous, in my opinion. Wanted to share that with you. Came across one of my social feeds, and it really grinded my gears. Excuse me. But in some positive news related to the flooding that I wanted to share with you today, the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel put out, I think, an incredible report about the work of the Metropolitan Milwaukee Sewerage District over the last 30-plus years to improve flood remediation, to make flooding impacts less. They detail those efforts by MMSD and the instances where those efforts were successful in protecting many neighborhoods here in and around Milwaukee, and their plans to do the same in more neighborhoods going forward. This is a topic close to my heart. My graduate thesis, getting my master's degree in mathematical economics, was a willingness to pay study for flood risk management. So we will discuss that article when we come back, as well as a quick refresher on the tips from Milwaukee County Executive David Crowley on how to prepare your home for what may be another storm surge this weekend. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Welcome back, everybody. And welcome if you're just joining me. I'm Maggie Dawn. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. Remember, if you want to see the show behind the show, hear what me and my guests talk about during the breaks, you can check all of that out by watching the show on Civic Media's YouTube channel or by following me at Maggie Dawn Show on Instagram, X, and the Book of Faces. You can see all of the action without interruption for the entire show. We've got more breaking news. Just 2 minutes ago, the New York Times is reporting that reporters have been hastily assembled in a news conference room. This is in Anchorage, where Donald Trump has been meeting with Vladimir Putin. Officials are doing what one calls a, quote, last-minute translation checks in Russian and English. And it seems like there will be a press conference that may be happening shortly. This is pretty surprising to me. They apparently, by the best I can tell, putting together the timeline, Donald Trump, Secretary of State Marco Rubio, and his special envoy, Steve Witkoff, have been meeting with Vladimir Putin, Sergey Lavrov, the Russian foreign minister, as well as Yuri Ushakov, for only about 3 hours. So, that's a little concerning. Vlad, just write down all the stuff you want. Just a list of demands, and, you know, we'll pass that along to President Zelensky of Ukraine. Very, very strange. Also, thanks to our friend Cam on the text lines sharing a photo of Russian Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov arriving today for these peace negotiations, wearing a sweater with CCP on it, which of course is USSR. Kind of reminds me of that Melania jacket. Remember when I think she was visiting, you know, folks that had been impacted by some terrible natural disaster, put a jacket on that basically, I think it said something like, I don't care. Do you? What are you wearing the pro-Soviet Union sweater to the summit over Russia's illegal invasion of a sovereign state because you want to return to the old Soviet Union's occupation of the entire land of Ukraine? Horrible. Again, this just breaking. Former U.S. Ambassador to Russia Michael McCall says this, quote, Putin doesn't look at all of this stuff as a sign of strength. He looks at it as a sign of weakness. He had to do absolutely nothing to get this meeting. Putin has gained everything and given nothing in return. He, echoing sentiments from one of the last living Russian dissidents, who wrote this week in the Washington Post, quote, Putin got everything he wanted before he even set foot on Alaskan soil. The invitation was the prize. We will keep you posted if we do. If that press conference does start, we may try to take that live, but we think it's probably going to be a little bit before that kicks off. We will be posting this article here from the Journal Sentinel about the work by the Milwaukee Metropolitan Sewerage District on flood abatement. So you can see all the detail that the Journal Sentinel pulled together. This reporting by Laura Schulte, really excellent. They detail and go into a flood remediation program that was kicked off back in 1995, 30 years ago, by MMSD. It's called the Green Seams Program. And it basically looks at and prioritized areas where there was very high risk of flooding, and they worked to remove sort of the concrete barriers or walls. We've seen these. They were used throughout like the 50s and 60s and 70s to try to redirect rivers. But they're terrible for flood, because what it does is it creates, when you've got concrete walls on a river and you have a huge rain event like we had last weekend, what it does is it like super accelerates all of this water. It basically creates this massive like torpedo gun of water. So they've been working to remove those concretes, create more space in the floodplains with plants and other natural environments that help soak up floodwaters. And they've, been doing this for 30 years. They've spent just a bit over $500 million on this. They have protected 5,825 acres from additional flooding. Absolutely critical. Targeted in the highest, the areas that have highest flood risk. Here's the statistic. When 1 inch of rainwater falls in the area that MMSD covers, it adds up to 7.1 billion gallons of water. Holy cow. I mean, holy cow. Billions, 7 billion gallons of water from an inch of rain. That explains much about why we have some of these challenges. The projects to date have focused in the Milwaukee area, the area covered by MMSD to date, on Valley Park, the county grounds, and Pigsville. And those areas in this last flooding event did not see the catastrophic impacts that other areas of our communities did. Now MMSD is looking to expand the flood risk abatement work in the county grounds. Looking to do so in the Menominee River Valley, Hart Park, Jackson Park, and Wilson Park, as well as projects along the Kinnickinnick River. So I wanted to bring this up because, again, my graduate work was basically about this very thing, and I think it's so important that people know that there are government agencies like MMSD out there doing the work to help keep our communities actually safe from the impacts of climate change. When we come back, we've got a chance for a little Ask Maggie, and we've got a very special final block of the day for you to celebrate the 85th anniversary of one of Civic Media's radio stations. So keep it locked. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. Welcome back, everybody. Welcome if you're just joining me. My name's Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. We have more breaking news coming out of Anchorage, Alaska, where Donald Trump, alongside Marco Rubio and Steve Witkoff, have been meeting with Vladimir Putin, Sergey Lavrov, as well as an additional Russian ambassador for the past approximately 3 hours. Although the White House had previously advertised the closing news conference as a joint event with both presidents, there had been lingering uncertainty about whether Trump and Putin would indeed speak with reporters together. However, we are watching a live feed from the news conference room where reporters were hastily assembled within the last 15 to 20 minutes, and there are two podiums there suggesting that the two leaders will indeed appear in tandem. We will keep you posted as that story develops. But we're going to do some fun stuff in the meanwhile. So much seriousness happening every day. And some of the fun stuff here in this segment we like to call Ask Maggie, also a little light and fun, and some of the politics as well. If you have questions for me and you would like me to tackle them on these Friday segments at 5:30 called Ask Maggie, you can send your questions in anytime to the email address askmaggie@civicmedia.us. That's askmaggie@civicmedia.us. You can also text your questions in 855-752-4842. That's 855-75-CIVIC. And with that, I'm super happy to introduce and reintroduce, if you've been listening to this program for a minute, my senior producer, Jamie Martinson. Welcome back and happy Friday, Jamie.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm watching this live stream right now of this summit speech tandem thing that's supposed to happen here. You know, if you have a chance to, please go look at it, because the positioning of the microphones tells you everything that you need to know right now. It's one of those little things that grab my attention. We have one where President Putin is going to presumably be standing that is straight up. It looks tall. It looks proud. And then the other one looks like it's just deflated and laying on top of the podium. I mean, is this the type of irony that we can expect going into this tandem press
we'll
conference?
See if we'll update you if they move the microphones around into a more equal posture. This is going to be interesting. Is he going to do another Helsinki where he basically says,
all that right
information that my most trusted advisors tell me, doesn't.
Yeah. I mean, it's such a minor thing, but it's really kind of, you know, one of those posturing things that you think about when you think of Vladimir Putin, right? Because this is how we know he is. We know that this was, you know, a dream come true for him to be on American soil, meeting with the U.S. president, basically on the same team, being looked at as an equal after many years of not. And I found that to be very intriguing today as I've been watching this live stream. One of those minor things.
Absolutely. Well, and the bookends here, like the reference to Helsinki isn't something out of thin air. The last time Vladimir Putin stood next to an American president was in Helsinki with Donald Trump in 2018, when Donald Trump said in response to a reporter's question, Vladimir denies ever meddling in the 2016 election. And even though all my intelligence agencies told me that obviously he did do that, he issued a very strong denial, and I have no reason not to believe him. So basically said, floof you to the intelligence community in the U.S.
Yeah. Well, with that being said, we do have a few questions. And, you know, we have a lot of people texting in right now. Our good friend, Conservative Bob, we'll get to you. We'll get to the text. We know you've got a lot to say about the issue, and we'll use that as part of this segment if we have some time here, because we do have a lot of really good questions. So, Jacob, before we can start Ask Maggie, of course, we have to get to my favorite part right now, which is the game show-like intro. And so I'll let you roll that when you're ready.
It's time to get your questions answered, Wisconsin style. Welcome to Ask Maggie, a rapid-fire round from politics to pop culture. So buckle up, Buttercup. It's Ask Maggie, and we're about to take your questions at lightning speed.
Sure, that's what we'll say.
Yay!
Lightning speed. That's what we got. So I want to start out with something kind of fun here today, because this has been a very serious news day all the way around. So we've got a message here from Paul, who is listening in Oshkosh. Shout out to WISS up in that area. And he has this question to ask you. Maggie, can you share the significance of 12 Brewers wins and why that gets you a free George Webb burger? That's a great question. I don't think I know that history. So what do you think? I'm going to defer to you because you're the
30 seconds. I got this unlocked.
30? All right. 30 seconds when you're ready, Jacob. Go.
George Webb, a chain of restaurants here in the Milwaukee area, its founder back in the 1940s predicted that the Brewers would win 12 in a row. And he said he would celebrate when they did by giving away free burgers, a promise made in 1940. And they have made good on that promise. The only three times that the Brewers have ever done this, one was in, of course, 1987, when the Brewers won their first 13 games, the second one in 2018, and now in 2025, the miracle in Milwaukee continues. And again, that burger giveaway, I believe, is going to be on August 20th from 2 to 6 p.m. If that's not going to work for you, if you're not going to be able to make it to one of the 23 George Webb locations throughout the greater Milwaukee area, they are also giving away vouchers on August 15th. So you can show up at a George Webb, support them, and get a voucher on August 15th as well. Love that question. I'll talk about Brewers anytime.
Question. Well, it's way better than anything else happening today. I mean, it's been a heavy news day once again. just a little a few things going on. All right. So I think we got to get to our good friend, Conservative Bob, because he is all in on the headlines today. And he had a couple of two-parters over here.
Okay.
You know, we've been talking about, you know, what's been going on in Alaska between Trump and Putin today and this summit that they've been holding. And his question is literally this, and it comes with some commentary, of course. Do you want more war and killing, or do you want all of this to end? He says someone is going to have to make some concessions. Both parties involved are going to have to meet each other halfway. I mean, at some point, perhaps there's going to have to be some sort of meeting, but in order to get that to happen, I'll let you answer this question. But in my opinion, President Zelensky would have to be on U.S. soil too, right? In order to do a halfway kind of thing. Just kind of my take, but I'll let the experts get to this. He says you can't have it both ways. Bob says if you could, this war would have been over by now. So which solution would you prefer? The war continues. Trump negotiates yet another peace deal. Have we had one peace deal yet, Maggie?
He's claimed a whole bunch of them, but when I look at the actual facts on the ground and read the expert analysis, he didn't do anything to help bring about those other deals. But this is all because Barack Obama got the Nobel Peace Prize, right? Like, this is what this is about. He wants his Nobel Peace Prize. That's what this is. So this is all about, you know, not the actuality. It's about all of the appearance. But are you going to put me on a timer for this one, Jamie? Can I get a minute on this?
Yes. Let's give her 60 seconds. I was going to interrupt you and ask you 60 seconds to answer this one, Maggie, whenever you're ready, Jacob.
Okay. Okay, Conservative Bob, I don't like war. I don't want people dying. War is nasty business that is bad for both countries, here, Ukraine and Russia. It's not great for the United States. We got to spend billions to help support Ukraine. But peace at any price is no peace at all. Peace, when Donald Trump degrades the standing of the United States, supplicates himself and by extension each and every one of us to the likes of a dictator and a murderous thug like Vladimir Putin, that sets back the international project of peace in pursuit of human dignity, I think, substantially. So what I want is a real and lasting peace that does not trade away America's leadership in the world and doesn't trade away fundamental principles about how lasting peace is negotiated. It's not negotiated by shoving an agreement down one party's throat and giving the other party, who again is a war criminal, a murderous thug, and a dictator, everything he wants. Today was a victory not for Donald Trump, not for the United States, not for peace, not for the project to promote human dignity. It was a victory for one man and one man only, Vladimir Putin. So while I tend to agree with Professor Barrington, who indicated that likely there will have to be some negotiation over territory, the way that Donald Trump has gone about this is completely disgusting, in my opinion. There was no reason for Vladimir Putin to be given the laudatory invitation to stand on American soil. He is a war criminal. So, yeah, didn't have to be this way. What conservative Bob's text doesn't address is that the how matters, and the how in international diplomacy and peace negotiations matters gravely. So, yes, I want peace, but not peace at any price. Thanks for the question, Conservative Bob, and thanks, Jamie, for passing it along.
Well, we always appreciate our conservative listeners chiming in, too. Everybody's welcome to this conversation. And you know what? We're not always going to agree on how to get it done. I think the important part is that it gets done. We have a few updates coming from the summit as well. The backdrop is officially set it has been set by the White House, and behind the two lecterns is an emblazoned wall that basically says pursuing peace, which of course emphasizes President Trump's desire to be seen as a peacemaker, of course, as you just mentioned, as he tries to seek that Nobel Peace Prize that he so much covets. Steve Witkoff, part of the envoy to the Middle East and also an advisor to Russia, just took his seat. There's been a little kerfluffle as he came into the room with all of the reporters. As I'm watching this live stream right now, he actually ignored questions about how the meeting went. He gave a wide, fairly tight smile, though, when they did a close-up with him on the camera. So we'll see if that means anything. But he is officially in the room. So it looks like maybe here within, I would say, my guess is probably within the next 10 to 15 minutes, just by the looks of how people are getting set, is probably when the two men will take the stage. So that's kind of our latest update. Now, as we continue, Ask Maggie, though, we do have another really great question. And I think we have to get to Carmela's, because this is another fun one on a Friday. Carmela called in. Jacob fielded the call for us, and she wants to know, Maggie, have you always been a dog person, or have you ever had a love for cats, gerbils, you know, the parakeets, anything like that? We'll give her 30 seconds for this one, Jacob, whenever you're ready.
Sue, gotta say, and I don't mean to offend, I am pretty much a dog person. Go hard for the dogs. They are man and woman's best friend. When it's a very cool cat, I can get down with the cool cat. But the aloof cats, maybe not so much. I'm also going to squeeze this one in. Cam wants to know, what's my favorite car? And it's what I'm driving right now. I'm driving an Audi S6, and boy, is it fun. I got the speeding tickets to prove it. Stay where you are, folks. We discussed WFHR's 85th anniversary party coming up next week. Next on the Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Keep it locked.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Jacob, my friend, we got to get rid of the heavy breathing on the front end of that, but I do always want to hear something good on my way into the weekend. Usually Fridays at 5:50, I'm joined by my colleague in broadcasting, with Civic Media, Terry Barr. Terry's on a well-earned vacation, but we've got something good as well to discuss with my colleague Laura Berg from WFHR in Wisconsin Rapids, because they've got quite a little party that is ramping up for next week in celebration of WFHR's 85th anniversary. Welcome, Laura, and thanks so much for taking some time on your Friday afternoon to join me.
Yeah, no problem. Hey, hello, audience.
Yes, hello, everybody, and happy Friday. We've all made it. So tell us a little bit about the history of WFHR. Frankly, it is quite an achievement for a radio station to be in operation for 85 years, especially in these times. So tell us a little bit about the founder and how we got to this incredible milestone.
Well, in November of 1940, November 5th specifically, the owner of the Wisconsin Rapids Daily Tribune decided that it would be a great idea to also open a radio station. His name was William F. Huffman, and William F. Huffman Radio, WFHR, kicked off that night and began announcing election results from that night. That would be the third time round for Roosevelt on that night. It has since gone through a handful of overturning owners. In September, I believe, of 2022, we came under ownership of Civic Media and have been a part of this network ever since.
It's really pretty incredible. Mr. Huffman, back in 1940, was also, as I understand it, the owner and publisher of Wisconsin Rapids Daily Tribune. So it's very interesting to me, and there's certain symmetry, Laura, for me to reflect upon the history of that station and its original founder, and clearly his desire to have news and information of the community, by the community, and for the community that was local, right? That it was about Wisconsin Rapids, and then the radio station, kind of the natural outgrowth of that. And the symmetry here, folks, is that Civic Media is really based in that same model that we try from each of our stations. I come to you from 540 AM, 101 FM at WAUK, based out of Waukesha, but we cover southeastern Wisconsin, a lot of Milwaukee focus from here, but that each of our stations and across the entire Civic Media network, it's really about trying to connect to communities. We have reporters in all regions of the state bringing regional and station specific local news to everyone, because listen, in this moment, I think local news and community-based coverage is how I hope we can rebuild the bridge and re-engage folks in their community and in news generally. I hear so many times from folks, Laura, I'm sure you do too, man, I can't listen to the news anymore. Well, what if the news was about you and the things happening right in your community? So I love the symmetry here. Tell us a little bit about the party that's going on next week, Laura.
Yeah, on Wednesday next week from noon to six, we're going to have an open house and a house party. We have some special events for kiddos. So those in the area or whoever plans on stopping by, make sure to bring your kiddos. They can record scripts and get to play radio DJ or radio news person and bring those clips that they record home with them. We're also going to have a baking competition between the staff. I may or may not be taking part. We'll find out on Wednesday. We're going to have a special guest judge for that, Milton Steele. He used to be one of our DJs and is on the cover of the 65th anniversary cookbook. So we're going to be releasing another one this year. Hopefully it'll come out this November, we're aiming for. And we're also going to have, you know, food trucks. We're going to have local nonprofits there to let us know what's going on. We're going to have a couple of dogs stop by from the local Humane Society. All great things. Come on by. It's going to be a good time. And we're going to have Katie Cruz, our DJ from WIRI. She's going to be broadcasting live from noon to four, her shift. And Todd Alba will be broadcasting live for his shift from two to four from our parking lot as well.
Yes.
Yeah, and I am super... Greg Lowe's coming in the morning.
It's going to be a bunch of fun. I wish I could be there with all of you. Tell everybody where the station is located in case you're in the WFHR area and want to stop by next Wednesday for that incredible block party.
Our address, our address is 1690 2nd Avenue South in Wisconsin Rapids. There's only two roundabouts in town. We're that roundabout right by the DMV. We're right there.
So come on down, meet Laura, meet Todd Alba, meet a bunch of folks that work for Civic Media. Check out this treasured element of the Wisconsin Rapids community, WFHR, 85 years strong. Thanks so much, Laura. Have a wonderful weekend. I want to squeeze in. We've got some breaking news. The news conference, the press conference has begun in Anchorage, Alaska. I am frankly shocked. Vladimir Putin is speaking first. That is unheard of in diplomatic circles. It is typically the precedent that the hosting foreign leader begins those press conferences. Here, Vladimir Putin beginning the press conference. He talks about his dear friend, Donald Trump. He is reviewing the history of the so-called U.S.-Russia friendship. They so far haven't given any specific result of the meeting. He is describing himself as an ally to the United States, which is bizarre. He says that he gave Trump a neighborly greeting on the tarmac, again, stressing how close Russian territory is to the United States. He emphasizes that Alaska was a former Russian territory. This is bizarre. Bizarre. Claims he'd greeted Trump when he arrived on the tarmac by saying, "Good day, dear neighbor. Hope you're well. I'll be well with you on Monday. Until then, have a beautiful weekend. Remember, I'll stand up for you. I hope you stand up for me. But it is always better when we stand together for meaningful peace and human dignity."
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.